All right, welcome back everyone to the deep dive. We're going to be jumping into a pretty big Supreme Court case today, especially for folks who are, really getting into their legal studies like yourselves. We're talking about Ohio Adult Parole Authority v. Woodard, which came out back in 1998. And we're going to try to answer a pretty I think a pretty important question. How far do these constitutional safeguards, things like due process and the Fifth Amendment, how far do those things actually reach into clemency, especially for those on death row? I mean, it's a really it's an interesting area where you have these big ideas of justice and mercy kind of coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting a good grasp on this case, this Woodard case, it's going to be super helpful, especially as you move forward in your legal careers. It really helps you understand the roles that the judiciary and the executive branches play, how they're different and how they interact, especially in these really, really high stakes situations,
Yeah.
like when we're dealing with capital punishment. And it even makes you kind of think about what fairness even means,
Yeah.
Outside of a typical courtroom, outside of a typical trial. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge question, right? Like, how do you even start to answer that? So maybe the best place to start is with the background of this case, right? Like, where did this all come from? So we've got Eugene Woodard. He's convicted, sentenced to death for, I mean, a really, really awful crime, aggravated murder. And it happened during a carjacking. So, obviously he appeals this, goes through the Ohio courts, even takes it all the way to the US Supreme Court.
But no luck, right?
Right,
Yep.
none. So as his execution date gets closer, Ohio, they've got this mandatory clemency process. It kicks in automatically.
Yeah, and that's really where these constitutional issues start to come up, right? So Woodard, he's told he can have this voluntary interview, right? But there's a catch. He can't have his lawyer with him. And then after that, there's going to be this clemency hearing.
Right, but Woodard, he's got some pretty serious concerns about this whole setup. He's saying, "Hold on, I didn't get enough notice about how all this is going to work." But even bigger than that, he doesn't want to do this interview without his lawyer there. He's worried, and understandably so, that he might say something that could, really hurt his chances of getting clemency, maybe even be used against him in some way. He feels like his Fifth Amendment rights are on the line here. So what does he do? He refuses to do the interview.
He says, no way.
Yeah, and instead he files a lawsuit under Section 1983, claiming that Ohio's whole clemency process violates his 14th Amendment right to due process, and of course, those Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination.
Takes it to court. So this case, it works its way through the lower courts, right? And at first, the district court, they actually side with the Ohio Adult Parole Authority. But then it goes up to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they see things a little differently. They actually overturn part of the district court's ruling. And what they say is actually pretty interesting. They basically say that this clemency process, it's so tied into Ohio's whole system of justice that it has to follow at least some basic due process rules, even though it's not, a regular trial.
Right. And this is where it gets really, really interesting. They zeroed in on that interview, that required interview without a lawyer, and they basically call it a Hobson's choice. And you can see why they'd say that. I mean, think about it. You're Woodard. You're in this awful situation, right? You can talk without your lawyer and maybe say something that hurts your chances of clemency, or maybe even worse. Or you can refuse to talk, stand on your Fifth Amendment rights, but then you look uncooperative, and that could hurt your chances too. It's like a no-win situation. The Sixth Circuit, they're basically saying that this puts Woodard in an impossible position, that it's basically an unconstitutional condition.
It's a tough one, right? And of course, this all leads to the Supreme Court, right? And they have to grapple with these two really big questions. First, does Ohio's clemency process violate the 14th Amendment, the Due Process Clause, because it doesn't have enough procedural safeguards? And second, does that interview, that required interview without a lawyer, does that violate the Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination?
Big questions. And the Supreme Court, they actually ended up reversing the Sixth Circuit. They sided with the Ohio Adult Parole Authority, but it wasn't a unanimous decision.
Right. So let's break down the reasoning a bit, starting with that due process issue. The plurality opinion, which was written by Chief Justice Rehnquist, it really hammers home this idea that clemency is different. It's not a trial. It's not like any other legal proceeding. He calls it an act of grace that comes from the executive branch. And he points to this earlier case, Connecticut Board of Pardons v. Dumschat. This case had said that decisions about pardons and commutations, those are traditionally made by the executive branch, not by the courts.
Right. So the court's basically saying that judges shouldn't be stepping in and second-guessing clemency decisions, that it's not really their place. And while Rehnquist, Chief Justice Rehnquist, he does say that there should be some basic safeguards, at least minimal ones. He thinks that Ohio's process, with its notice and its hearing, that's enough.
But it's important to mention Justice O'Connor's concurrence here, right? Because she agrees with the majority's decision overall, but she adds this really important caveat. She says that there might be some extreme cases, situations where the clemency process is just totally arbitrary, or where an inmate is completely blocked from even accessing the process. She says in those cases, maybe the courts should step in. But, she says, that's not what's happening in Woodard's case. Ohio's system, it's not that bad. So, you know, this kind of leaves us with a question, right? What exactly does extreme arbitrariness even mean in this context? That's something the legal experts are still debating today.
Yeah, it's a really tough question. And, you know, then you have Justice Stevens. He writes this dissenting opinion, and he really comes at it from a totally different angle. He's saying that, look, when we're talking about the death penalty, when someone's life is literally on the line, basic fairness means you need more than just minimal safeguards. You need real solid protections. He felt the majority was just didn't go far enough in protecting Woodard's rights.
It's a powerful dissent, for sure. Now, let's shift gears and talk about the Fifth Amendment argument. The court, they shot down the Sixth Circuit's idea of this unconstitutional condition thing. They said, look, the interview was voluntary. No one was forcing Woodard to talk. He could have stayed silent. They make this interesting comparison to what happens in a typical criminal case.
Right. They're saying that people in criminal cases, they make tough choices all the time. Do I testify? Do I talk to the police? Uh-huh. And we don't usually say that those choices violate the Fifth Amendment. So they're saying Woodard was in a similar situation. He had to make a strategic decision, knowing that staying silent might hurt his chances. But that's not the same as being forced to incriminate himself.
Exactly. And they make another important point here. They say that clemency proceedings, they're different from a trial. They're not about deciding guilt or innocence. That's already been decided. Clemency is about something else entirely. It's about mercy. It's about the executive branch having the power to grant leniency even after someone has been convicted. And this shows us something really interesting about constitutional rights. Mm. They don't always apply in the same way in every situation.
Right. I mean, that's a big takeaway, isn't it? It's like the Constitution, it doesn't give us this one-size-fits-all answer for what's fair in every single situation. The level of protection can change depending on what's going on. So for you folks out there, you know, really studying the law, there are some big, big lessons to learn from Woodard. The biggest one, I think, is this idea of executive discretion when it comes to clemency. Clemency, it's not a right. It's not something you're entitled to. It's a gift, an act of mercy from the executive branch. And the courts, they're not going to get involved and second guess those decisions unless something really, really crazy happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And the second big takeaway is that due process in clemency cases, it's minimal. The court is basically saying you just need some basic fairness, some notice, a hearing. That's about it. You don't get all the bells and whistles you get in a criminal trial. And that's a pretty stark difference, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it makes you think, right? It makes you think about how the Constitution doesn't always treat every legal process the same way. The level of protection you get, it depends on the situation. And the third big takeaway is about the Fifth Amendment. The court's saying that in these clemency interviews, where it's supposed to be voluntary, the Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination, it doesn't really apply in the same way it would during a trial or an investigation. So again, it's about context, about how these basic rights can be applied differently depending on the situation.
Absolutely. And I think the final point we need to highlight is that courts, they really tend to give the executive branch a lot of leeway when it comes to clemency. They're not going to step in unless there's clear evidence of, you know, abuse of power or complete unfairness. And that's a pretty big deal, especially in cases where the stakes are so high, where someone's life is literally on the line. I mean, think about the implications of that. Where do we draw the line?
That's the question, isn't it? So as we wrap up this deep dive into Ohio Adult Parole Authority v. Woodard, here's something to really ponder. Clemency, it's often the last hope for someone on death row. So how do we balance the executive branch's power to grant clemency with the need to make sure the process is fair? Justice Stevens, in his dissent, he was really worried about that fairness. But Chief Justice Rehnquist, he was focused on this idea of clemency as an act of grace. So where do you all stand? Where do you think those ethical and legal lines should be drawn, especially in these cases where the stakes are so incredibly high? Wittert gives us this framework, but the debate about how much protection people should get in clemency proceedings, that's a debate that's still going on today. It's something you'll definitely encounter as you move forward in your legal careers.
A lot to think about, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.